Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. Today, I'm excited to have Rob Robertson talk about his latest book, which is Persevering Through Purpose. I love the book, and I wanted to have Rob on here to share his life story. It's an incredible story, very inspirational. Highly recommend all of our listeners to go out and go buy it. And certainly, Rob is well known within our industry. He's Senior Vice President of First Citizens Bank. Prior to that, he was with PNC, Wells, and several others. So, Rob, I'm excited to have you with us today.
Pat, I'm excited to be here. The day after the Super Bowl, a lot has been going on. I was there for the Super Bowl festivities in the community, that is, and I'm glad to be back in the office.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about the Eagles as a Philly girl. So I loved it. That was a great game. So I was glad that you were able to go there. It was seemed fabulous even on TV. But let's talk about your book and why you were starting to share kind of why did you decide to write the book and talk about all that was involved with you putting your life story together.
Well, it's funny, you know, during my life, I've had several people tell me, hey, you should write a book. Some people said, hey, you should be a motivational speaker. I've even had someone, Pat, say, you should be a preacher. I said, no, I don't think I'm there. You know, I've done some motivational speaking and I still do that when asked. But the book thing is one of those things you sit back and you say, you know, for me, I didn't want to disrupt my family, you know, my wife, my kids, because I'm sharing a lot of personal information. And I never recall, it was one morning in April, I was reading, you know, just in the morning before I go work out and go to work, something hit me and like, hey, you need to be obedient. I'm like, I'm being a great husband. At least I think I am. I'm being a great father. I have a job. I'm doing things I'm supposed to do. And so, you know what, if it's meant for me to write this book, then the publisher will call me. And I'll never forget, I was at Dulles Airport, Pat, and I was sitting there and the phone rang and I was going to, you know, one of the NFL alumni, Charlie Batch, lives in Pittsburgh. He was opening up his new facility and invited me to come. And man, as I'm sitting in the airport waiting on the flight, phone rings and it's the publisher. And she says, hey, are you ready to make your dream a reality? And I said, wow, Jacqueline, I said, it's done. And she's like, I think I caught her off guard. She's like, what? I said, you don't understand. I didn't get into the details with her. I just said, you know, my prayer was, hey, if it's meant for me to write this book, then you're going to call me. You didn't text me. You called me. And that was my sign. Like it needed to be done. And that's why we, you know, let's get it going. We got started.
Well, I've known you for a while, and I didn't know all your backstory. So why don't you share with our listeners? You have an incredible story, and certainly your grandmother was a fabulous person, Madeira, and you can talk about her. But talk about your life before our world of, obviously, the mortgage side and your football career.
I want to pause and thank you. I've always said, for me, when someone gives me the opportunity to share, especially and express my appreciation for my grandmother, this is the part of my life that I really appreciate. I wish I could go on Good Morning America. I'm putting it out there. One day I will and share who Madeira is. So for me, you know, listen, I want to say to all the listeners, first and foremost, I'm just a guy who is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that happened to put my story on paper. All of us have stories, right? I mean, life can throw us some curveballs. And I'll just say this. You know, at an early age, I thought my life was really pretty cool. Living in Houston, Texas at the time with my mother, and my mother had gotten remarried with my stepfather. And I was in a car with my grandmother and my mom, and they were talking in the front seat. And they said, I heard my mom tell my grandmother, hey, if something happens to me, are you going to take care of my big head son? And my grandmother looked at her and laughed. And she said, hey, you're going to outlive me. You're going to be able to take care of your own big head son, right? And as they were talking, I said, hey, why are you guys talking about death? I said, like, can you change the subject? I was 10 years old. And they looked at me and my mom laughed and says, hey, boy, be quiet. You know, we all are going to go sometime. And that night, you know, my dad, my stepfather came home. My mom was in his green dress. And he said, wow, my wife looks so good. We're not eating at home. We're going to dinner. And so we went to dinner that night. Everything was normal. We came home. And so my mom made me go to bed early. I was watching the Rockets game with my dad, and she said, hey, you got to go to bed early, and didn't explain to me that the school had called and I was supposed to receive a bunch of awards and trophies and certificates. And so she wanted her baby to be well rested. Well, I went to bed, Pat, you know, upset, not knowing why she, you know, made me go to bed early. And at 2:30 in the morning, I wake up and my grandmother said, call 911, call 911. And when I looked in the living room, my mom is there suffering from a massive heart attack. And that experience changed my life. And so, you know, the book is simply my journey, as a lot of people have disruptions in life and they pause like a deer in the headlights and they stop. I'm just grateful that my grandmother was there at the time and she decided to, hey, let me listen to what my daughter asked me. And she took me in. And, you know, I had to move from Houston back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I was born. And that was a different life for me. You know, I was the only child in Houston. I was, you know, around a lot of diversity, if you will, in Houston. And I moved back to Baton Rouge. And my grandmother could only afford to send me to the school that's close to her. And that's when I would just say a lot of things changed, from my family saying that I talked different, to friends telling me I dressed and looked different. And I had a different life that I had to adapt to. So
So talk about, and I just remember, talk a little bit about your grandmother, because it was really, from my viewpoint, such a fabulous person. She was generous. She helped people. She worked all the time. I mean, I couldn't believe all the things that she did. And I remember that one story about you were looking to give a gift to your girlfriend at the time when you were in high school, and she went out and borrowed for you. I just thought it was an incredible story. So share some more about her.
Yeah. I mean, you know, during that time, I first start off by saying she had a home where, again, it wasn't an expectation for me to move in with her. So in order for her to bring me in, she had to add a room onto her house. And that's, I'm always grateful for that, Pat, because her adding that room onto her house took sacrifice. It wasn't built properly. I just tell you, it was built with a flat roof. Whoever did it just, you know, I guess did their best. I remember when she built that room, it was like she took a window off of her room. That was the way I entered into my room. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I mean, when it rained, I remember water going down the walls. I remember a squirrel ended up living, something was in the roof. It wasn't a human being. And I laughed. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, I wanted to be grateful to her and let her know, like, hey, even though it wasn't built properly, I had to open the door to get air. I didn't have the AC, central AC, coming through that room. But it was my room. It was my room that she built for me. I wanted to let her know that I appreciated that. And that was her sacrifice to me. And to your point, she sacrificed in many other ways, and I didn't know it until later in life. And so the story you're asking about was, you know, listen, we came from some very humble beginnings. My grandmother was a seamstress. She sewed dresses. She was on Social Security. She made candy and pies and things like that. She actually taught me sales, you know, at the church when she would sell candy. And I would have to write the script to announce to the church, Sister Watson has pralines and pies at the church. She was selling all that stuff for a dollar. I would have church members touching me, sending me notes. Hey, save me 5 pieces of candy. Save me. It was so funny. Yeah. And so I had to deal with the supply and demand of her candy and pies, right? And so, but I just remember this one time, I was like this girl, high school sweetheart, and I wanted to buy her something, and I didn't have the money to buy it. And she knew it, and I told her, and she said, one day I came home, and she said, hey, go look under your pillow. And so I walk in my room, look under my pillow, and there's $300. And she says, now go buy your girlfriend something for Christmas. And so, you know, when I reflect on that, she sacrificed. It wasn't until I got in the NFL and I was able to do for her, and I was able to start to, you know, I'll share, you know, when I got into financial services and looked at her credit, and I'm looking at this Blazer Finance, and I'm like, what is that? And she said, that's the money that I borrowed for you. And I said, I looked at it and she was paying 19.99% interest. Now, granted, Pat, I'm out of high school, I'm out of college, and she's still paying on that $300, right? Yeah. So I immediately paid it off. And I'll never forget when I went up to the place and I said, I just can't believe you would take advantage of an elderly person. And she just didn't know. And so, you know, I say that to, you know, not to be embarrassed. I mean, I grew up, my family, they did the very best she could. But you know what? She did everything with character. She did everything with integrity. And that's what she taught me. She instilled in me. And those are the principles and the prayers that I'm living on today.
So, Rob, talk about how sports was so important to you. Obviously, you were an excellent athlete early on. And then talk about that journey, because I think it's very interesting, especially now that we've come off the Super Bowl, how hard it is to make it in the NFL and how short-lived it is.
Yeah, I mean, Pat, that's a great question. It's funny you say that because I was sharing with my wife. We're sitting in the Super Bowl, and I said to her yesterday, I said, I finally can watch it and not have this sick feeling in my stomach, you know, because as a competitor, I'm, you know, you want to compete. You're an athlete, and you desire to be out there. But now I've gotten older, I do not want to get hit, and I don't want no parts of it. So it's fun to watch. But, you know, I can say to you, and I'll say to the listeners here, you know, you got to think about this. So there's 32 teams, and all those teams – during the off season, they are getting their bodies right, you know, lifting weights, staying in shape, running plays, thinking about this, watching film for what we witnessed yesterday. And there's only two teams that can play in that game. And then after, you know, the 60 minutes, there's only one team that's going to stand on the podium, that's going to have the confetti fall on them. And that's just like life, though, sometimes, Pat. So when you think about all the hard work that we put in, the things that we do for our families, for our kids, all we want is that confetti to fall on us in the end, whether that's you being married, whether that's a promotion, whatever that is. So football for me was a sport that I leveraged that, one, it kept me out of trouble. I stayed on the course. It taught me teamwork, taught me resilience. It taught me tenacity, perseverance. And I was always, especially now as I've gotten older, you know, you think about it, I started playing football at 7 years old. In fact, my stepfather is the one who put me in football. He wanted me to get tougher. And as I grew and I moved back to Baton Rouge with my grandmother, that was my avenue, my outlet, that I didn't have to deal with my circumstances at home because I was a star on the field. I knew that my team needed me in whatever capacity. Pat, it's funny, you know, in the NFL, I played fullback, but I started off playing quarterback. I played kicker, punter, various positions. And it was fun being able to be that conduit for my team and being a leader. And so when I think about as a child, I played on the teams with the likes of Warrick Dunn, who is great in the NFL. He still does some great things in the community. And think about some of the other guys that's gone on to the NFL and played. And when you reflect back on football, again, I just would leave you this analogy. It's like you got 11 guys, you know, as professionals, but we started that journey as kids. We have to go in a huddle. We call a play. We have to break the huddle and execute the play, right? And the reality of it is if one person messes up, sometimes we have to start over. But the goal is we just want to get first downs to ultimately get a touchdown. And that's really the goal in life. I mean, we all want to get first downs in life, keep moving the ball, keep moving your family, keep moving your, you know, your career and get touchdowns. And so that's what the game taught me. And I was able to leverage what I learned from the football field and bring it into corporate America. And so I hope I answered your question, Pat.
No, you did. And I want you to share with the audience today how you did get into the financial service world. And you've been in it, obviously, successfully for a long time. So when the football days ended, which was due to an injury, then it was time for, all right, you tried to get back into the NFL, and then that didn't actually work out. And so talk about how you got into the actual financial services.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as you stated, you know, I'll say National Football League. For me, I always laugh and tell people it's still for not for long. I got two accredited seasons. So that counts towards your pension. And, you know, the Ravens decided to cut me. They released me. I had a knee injury. And unfortunately, you know, my coaches were fired. Brian Billick came in and kind of I played that year and he kind of cleaned house. And so during the exit interview for the NFL, it was either pharmaceutical sales or it was mm-hmm. the NFL. And I chose pharmaceutical sales. And then I said, so what do I have to do in pharmaceutical sales? Merck was hiring at the time, Pat.
Yeah, okay.
Said, well, you have to go to New York for 6 weeks. And I said, well, no, I don't know if I want to do that. So the other avenue was, hey, you can do financial services, which was, hey, pick up the phone, call customers. Let's see if you can sell a mortgage. I said, well, do you have to go away for 6 weeks? No. I said, well, I want to do that because, Pat, mind you, I thought that I was going to play football again. My coaches were fired.
Sure.
They were in Kansas City. My running backs coach, Al Levan, was like, hey, Rob, as soon as you're healed, let me know. We're going to bring you into Kansas City. I'll never forget. I got the call. I was healed. My doctor sends a note. Al calls me. They're going to bring me in on a Sunday. The Chiefs was playing on a Sunday. We want you here on a Sunday. Take your physical on Monday. You're off on Tuesday. You're on the practice field on Wednesday. Well, I had this uneasiness in my spirit. My wife, who is my wife today, she was my girlfriend at the time. We were out eating dinner, celebrating. My agent at the time says, hey, Rob, you're going to look good in red and white. And back then, you know, you didn't have the app to check your status of your flight. So I called the airlines and they said my flight had been canceled. And I said, well, who canceled it? They couldn't give me that information. And so that Sunday, obviously, the team is playing. Monday, Al calls me. He says, hey, it's nothing I can do. They got word from a reliable source that you're high risk of re-injury. And I said, where did they get that word? So I got my doctor's record, and they said in the record, and I still have it to this day as a reminder, Pat, said Rob is free to engage back in football activity in the NFL, but he's a high risk of re-injury. And I called the doctor. I'm not going to say his name. And I said, hey, Would you hire me? And he says, what do you mean? I said, there's not a team in the NFL that's going to hire me with a statement that you put in my medical record. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, pretty much blew my career. And I knew I had to figure it out. And that's how I ended up in financial services. And, you know, Pat, it was funny. I'll tell you quickly, you know, my boss at the time, who my first corporate boss, I was in his office one morning and the bank called and they were calling to validate. We had one of my colleagues, co-workers in the bank cashing a check. He didn't do a direct deposit. And then the joke on that is he didn't want his wife to know how much money he made. So after he got off the call, I said, Jeff wasn't eavesdropping. I said, but the volume was loud and I did hear the conversation. I said, he makes that kind of money here? And he looked at me, Pat, and he says, you know, Rob, I'm telling you, if you apply yourself, you can mm-hmm. have a great living. And Pat, it was that day I got a sticky note and I wrote a number on the sticky note and taped it to the bottom of my computer. And everybody that walked by my desk was like, Rob, what is that number? What does that mean? I said, that's how much money I'm going to make. I said, if that guy can do it, I know I could. And so it took, you know, the tenacity, the competition from the football
sure.
field. Again, mm-hmm. into corporate America. And then the rest was history. I started to excel. I, you know, competed with my buddy. We held each other accountable, but I was in the tops in sales for 5 years in a row and did some things that, you know, my former company that had never been done. I moved on to Atlanta and my assistant at the time worked for the CEO. Her husband's job relocated him to Atlanta. She was my assistant, and then my business skyrocketed even more. And then I started hiring people, and we built out a platform mm-hmm. in Atlanta. And I'll just say from there, the rest was history. I ended up going to Wells Fargo, went to JP Morgan, went to PNC, and now I'm at First Citizens and very happy at the financial institution that I am here today. And just very grateful for my journey thus far.
So, Rob, talk about if a lot of what you're talking about in the book, which is what I loved about it. You talk about hope and resilience a lot. And talk about what that means to you and share with the listeners how that could be meaningful to them.
Well, the title of the book is Persevering Through Purpose. I have to give this plug to my lovely wife of going on 23 years. You know, initially, Pat, for a while, I had the title of the book, Persevering Through Pain. And we were talking and, you know, I was going through the manuscript and, you know, you go through that process of writing a book. She said to me, Robert, I don't think it's been pain. It hadn't been painful, but it has been your purpose. And I was like, wow. I said, you know, I like that. You're right. And then you study the words and what the meanings are, like, this has been my purpose. And, you know, Rick Warren has a book, you know, Purpose Driven Life. There's a lot of different books out. I look at persevering through purpose. The word perseverance came from premarital counseling. So my wife and I went through premarital counseling with a few other couples. And there was a day that the couple was taking us through the course and the men broke up from the women. We divided out. And so I'll never forget our premarital counselor. He said, hey, I need you guys. You guys have homework. And he says, your homework is you need to pick a word that will embody your family. He says, in fact, pick a word. And I don't want it to be nothing monetary. I need you to pick a word that will embody your family and study that word in the Bible. And boy, oh boy, Pat, when I did that exercise and I picked the word, my word was perseverance. And when you study the word in the Bible, perseverance brings patience. Patience brings hope. And hope brings proven character. And I want to reiterate that. Perseverance brings patience. Patience brings hope. And hope brings proven character. I took that word to my wife and I said, hey, this is the word. And she's like, are you sure you want that word? Like, it seems like our family, like, we may have some hard times. And I said, no, let's really study the word together in the Bible. We studied the word and we've embodied this has been our life. And that's what I say, you know, football for me, I think about it, I had to persevere. May not have played long, but I was there. And then I had to figure out my journey after football, which was tough. I had to go back to school, get my degree. And the team that I just left decided to go to the Super Bowl. Not only go, but they decided to win it. You talk about persevering, right? Then you think about, you know, some of the persevering that I have had to go through in corporate America. I tell people, like, it hadn't been an easy road. Like, people might say, oh, this guy, this, that, and other. Like I said earlier, all of us have stories. And trust and know, I have a story just like you have a story. But I've decided to persevere through my purpose. And my purpose has been leaving people better than I find them, Pat. It's been to stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before me. And there's people counting on me now to really hold them accountable and push forward during this journey called life, because we're all throwing curveballs here and there. And I always say, you got to take the crooked balls with the straight balls, right? Everything won't be easy. And so that's persevering through purpose.
So talk about, for our listeners, as we're really coming to the end, talking about what would be, and you really are talking about it now, what would be some of the advice that you would give to people?
I tell people, like, a couple of things. One, like, it was amazing. I remember going through a transition in life and I was reading a book. And the book wasn't reading the way I wanted it to read. It started off one way, and then I'm like, I don't want to read this, right? And the reason why I didn't want to read it, because it was really pointing toward my life, and it was putting a magnifying glass on things that I really needed to read, but I was like, I didn't want to read it at the time. Then I went and picked the book back up again, and I finished it. And the end of the book was what I really needed to hear. Versus when I was in that moment that I was like, the magnifying glass was on me. I'm like, I don't want to hear that right now. And yeah. I would tell people, my biggest number one piece of advice would be, keep reading the book. And whatever that book is, that means keep sharing your story, stay on your journey, because where you are today gets you so much closer to where you want to be tomorrow. And sometimes in life, when we get those curveballs, when we get those hits, when we get those disruptions, people want to just pack it in and just stop, or they just want to freeze like a deer in the headlights. And when they freeze, we all know what happens to deer when they freeze in the middle of the road. They take those hits, and those hits in life come. And sometimes people do not put on their caution lights. And what do I mean by that? Pat, if you were to go out and drive right now, and I knock on wood, this is not going to happen to you, but if you had a flat tire, if you had something happen, what would you do? You pull over, you hit the caution light on your the button in your car to let people know you have a hazard. The lights will flash, and hopefully somebody will see you and will stop and be kind enough to say, hey, what do you need? I've seen that in life where sometimes a battery may be low on a car, especially when it's cold. And it's amazing to me, Pat, the phenomenon when you get booster cables and you plug into a battery that has power, the car starts right up, right?
Right.
Same thing in life. A lot of times we have people who are suffering in silence. They're afraid to raise their hand. They're afraid to keep reading the story. They are afraid to keep reading the book. They are afraid to hit the caution button or the hazard lights in their inner self to say, hey, guess what, Pat, I need some help, or Pat, I need to talk, or Pat, can I plug into your power source? Because guess what? You have all this energy. And right now, you know, my light is lit, but it's dim, right? And sometimes that's what we need. We pour out into others, and sometimes we need to be poured back into. And that's what I'm, you know, trying to convey in the book is that, hey, it's inevitable. We are going to go through some stuff in life. It's called life. And, you know, there's always going to be, I always say, cultivation time. There's going to be seed time, and there's going to be harvest time. And that happens in our lives. And when people understand that and not be okay or not be afraid of saying, hey, Pat, I'm hitting my button. I need to plug in. You know, I'll say this last thing, Pat, is that one of the interesting phenomenons happened during my pro day in college going to the NFL. A guy by the name of John Wooden, who played for or who actually managed for your Philadelphia Eagles at the time.
Sure. Yeah.
He was a player personnel. He came into my college, and I had all of these, like the brass of the NFL in my running back's room. And I put the highlight tape VHS in the VCR at the time. And I'll never forget, James hit eject and threw the tape back to me. And he said, Rob, we're not here because we want to see your highlights. We know you can play. That's why we are here. Pat, he said, we want to know, what are your lowlights? What are the things that you don't do so well? And so I've never forgotten that. And I'll say, you know, it's in those lowlight moments that build a highlight reel. A lot of times we have people that look at these phones, and all they want to do is look at me. But it's in those low light reels that build character, that build tenacity, that build resilience, that build hope.
So Rob, I loved your book. Why don't you share with everyone are listening today how they can purchase the book?
Absolutely. If you want to purchase a copy of the book, you can get it in paperback, hardcover, or you can get it in electronic format on Amazon. You can just go to www.amazon.com, search Persevering Through Purpose, Rob Robertson, and it should be there. And I have to give myself this shameless plug, Pat. The great Dickie V, Dick Vitale, posted my book on his Twitter or X account with his million followers. And it has just been amazing to see just the feedback and the commentary. And I really, really appreciate you, Pat. And I appreciate the listeners who may go purchase the book. I believe that feedback is a gift. So if anybody reads the book, please provide me with your feedback. I would love to hear it.
Well, as I said, I can only say how great it was. And I thought it was fabulous. And I thought it should be a movie. I might see it as a movie someday. So maybe we'll see. It has all the suspense and all the lessons in life that we need to have. So I want to thank you, Rob, for joining us today. And certainly, if we'd like to talk mortgages with you, so how can they get in contact with you?
Absolutely. Well, I'm on LinkedIn. So if anyone wants to find me on LinkedIn and would like to talk mortgage and financial services, I'm all ears. And please reach out to me and reach out to Pat. Pat knows how to get in contact with me as well. And Pat, you're always so humble. But I want to give you your flowers right now to just say
thank you.
You have a lot of content that a lot of us listen to, a lot of us follow, and you've always been a great corporate citizen just for the work that you do. And I want to thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And our industry is a fabulous industry. So sharing all the good stories is kind of my mission. So I'm with you on that one. I want to thank our listeners. Certainly share our podcast with your friends and your colleagues. We certainly subscribe because we come out each week with a fabulous interview. And Rob's one today. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.